Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday.
All right, sorry about that. Had some computer issues. I'm coming back on for a bit. Hope some people had on. We'll call back. I apologize for that. Number 347-850-1065. Number again, 347-850-1065. Yes, what we was talking about is was like talking about President Obama's failed black people. And I was talking about how we use a lot of symbolism when looking at his reign. Like, he's not saying reign, like he's like, you know, but his administration, his terms, that he was he's pretty much been using like symbolism. We looked at him as a symbolic figure. We looked at him as like the face of black people. We like put him, we looked at him like he's our favorite basketball player. All right, 443. Let's see the soul. All right, soul, can you hear me now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Am I sounding better now?
Yeah, you sounded great.
All right, go ahead, good brother. Go ahead and chop it up real quick.
Well, no, you know, I was just coming in. Let me cut off this right now. I was just chiming in and coming in and checking on the show because, like you said, I was listening to people like the symbolism, but they really don't want it. They're not really reaching for the policies, and they're not requesting that we have something that's genuine for us. Everybody else who helped get him into office are actually getting their demands met. Whatever they may be, they may not get them all, but they're getting what they're, you know, they're getting the major ones that they want, at least anyway. As far as us, I don't see any major really change or benefits for us that we're demanding or trying to get. And when you start saying something about what Obama's done, all of a sudden you got issues. You know, I mean, they're going to look at you like you're crazy or something. I'm like, look, man, we put this man in office. We should demand some things from him. What is wrong with that? I don't want a figurehead as a black person in the White House. I want somebody who's going to give us something that's beneficial, period. And if that's not what's being given, then we need to look at this. And the next, if you're talking about having another black president, you better make sure you got something on the table. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And here's a question for you. I know you're in Baltimore, right?
At this present time, yeah. That's what I'm at.
All right. Sorry about those Ravens, but anyway, you know, but I remember, like, let me ask you this, because I always talk about, like, the biggest issue, like you were saying, is us when it comes to this, because we didn't demand anything. Like, when that whole, when the Freddie Gray situation happened, did you hear any Democrats speak out for black people on this?
I'm not sure, because I don't really follow whether or not they're a Democrat or Republican, because, you know, I'm an independent. But there may have been. Yeah, I get what you're saying. They may have or may not. But see, here, it's a chocolate city here. So you could have a Democrat who's black, or you could have a Democrat who's a Republican. So, because we're a chocolate city, you know what I'm saying? So, but I do know that we definitely have black folks involved in making sure we're getting justice, and they're still involved in it. So So it really, I don't know if that's really going to help whether they're Democrat or Republican, but I definitely know they understand the difference of, look, we're not trying to tolerate this. We want some action. And they are taking action.
And the reason I ask that is because black people, we like as a whole, we think Democrats are our friends and Republicans are these evil racists that go round us up like they did in Auschwitz, Germany. But when you got Hillary Clinton with a record of standing by her husband and the policies he put in that targeted black men. Now, I don't know about you, so I don't care about, not saying it's a bad thing, but not saying it's on me. I'm not trying, I don't care about, where about the black, the brown community, I'm sorry, the Muslim community. Trump talking about them, that's their problem. Because if I walk into a 7-Eleven, look how those Muslims look at me. So now they want to talk trash about you, have at it, Hoss, by yourself. The black and brown community, guess what? Because I live in Phoenix. I know you've been out, you from out west.
Yes, I know what's up.
A lot of, Yeah, a lot of Mexicans, they don't like us. They want to be white. But the one thing I give them credit on, they have their own businesses. They have their own business districts, the little areas. Their grocery stores may not be like you out in California. They may not have a Ralph's or an Albertsons or a Safeway, but it's theirs. So what I'm about to tie this into is this is where black people mess up at. Instead of sending preachers and a bunch of black folks looking for a job on TV, we should have done like they did when Donald Trump was talking slick about and brought out Carlos Slim. Or better yet, how about that whole, like I said, grocery store, I said this on a show I did before. Even like people talk about local politics, let's tie this in also. You look at your local grocery stores, and you know this, so where I'm about to go. Look at how many businesses are right in that little grocery store, by that grocery store, your dry cleaners, pet stores, pool supply, a couple of restaurants. You got a bank over there. You know, hell, you even have the little red box thing sitting out there. Everybody, but the guy who owns the grocery store may not like the guy who owns the pet store, the dry cleaner. They're not exchanging Christmas cards. But guess what? When it's time for those local elections, go to the city council, the chamber of commerce meeting, they're going to say, hey, I don't like you, but we're going to come together because we all got to make money here. And it's all about the money here. We come together for that. Us, on the other hand, it could be like I'm an independent myself. Hell, I don't vote for Deadpool this year because I don't like any of them. But but we would turn down – we would dismiss information because we don't like the source. Fox News may have good information, but it's because it's from them, they turn down the source. But CNN and MSNBC was out here calling black boys of Baltimore thugs who was protesting. And those are the so-called liberals that like black people. But we like being massaged. But let's ask this. Cause I know you have support, like say Baltimore. That's support areas, like most black areas. Nobody's being gentle with you when they kick you out of their house. No one's being gentle when they lock you up for that ounce of coke. No one's massaging your ego here. No one's validating you. But we think President Obama getting in office validated us, but it hasn't. It made things worse. And hell, he even pardoned less nonviolent criminals than any president in recent history, and that includes Ronald Reagan.
Well, I know here in Baltimore, the whether they said they were criminals, I do believe that those folks who were acting the fool were a lot of them were criminals. But here's the thing, though, we got to them, we addressed them. Now, mind you, now this is a chocolate city predominantly.
Yeah.
So you can't. It doesn't matter what Fox says or CNN. We know here, okay. We know that these were a bunch of knuckleheads who were acting a fool, giving a bad look to some of the black folks who are doing the right thing. But what we did not play around with is we went ahead and got there behind, and now many of them are in jail or going facing their charges or whatever the case may be. So we're not going to let that go by. Just because they were black, they get a pass. That's not going to happen, okay? But that's what we need to recognize when we deal with Obama. Just because he claims to be black, he don't get a pass just because. That's not how it works. You got to represent and put it on the table, and then you get your pass if you're about something. If you ain't about something, you don't get no pass. That's just how it goes. So I think that people need to stop with the falling back of, because I'm black, or because we should be getting a pass. No getting a pass. I don't care and that should go all the way up to the White House. It don't make no difference. Just because you're black, you need to make sure you present something out there. If we have a community that you're saying you're being, or a populace that you're connected to, you better make sure you give something back to that community. Everybody does it. Every other group does that. We, on the other hand, we're like, oh, no, they get up there and be leaders, and we really don't have to have anything back from them. I'm like, what is that all about? Enough of the figurehead position and thinking that it's good just because they are black. They can get a pass. No such thing. No such thing.
Yeah.
If they're going to be black, they're going to have to represent. Period. That's it.
Yeah.
That's like anybody else. Nothing wrong with that. So we don't need to be feeling we should be shamed for requesting things that we should be requesting. Why are you?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous.
Why the hell
thing.
I vote for you for it?
If you think about it, Oprah, they showed us a lot. Oprah Winfrey, she was just crying. Oh, we got our first black president. All these people were happy. I'm like, oh, you got a black president. But I was reserved. I wanted to wait and see what he does with his policies, like you were talking about. Because
yeah.
Skin tone, we already know that there are people who can look like us and not do a doggone thing for us. So it's like, just because he look like me don't mean nothing. I need to see what he's going to put on the table that is beneficial to me as an individual who's black. And if I don't see nothing coming out that outside that out of those policies, I could care less if he's black. He's no different to me than the white dude or Asian dude or dude or somebody else because he's not really connected to our community or our populace. So that's how that goes. So I'm like,
he
just looks like us.
He's actually
right, you know. He got the skin tone. He don't have the connection to us. You know what I mean? So I'm like, you know, and just because he got a black wife don't mean nothing. Okay, she's not the one who makes the policies. She's not the one putting out executive orders and stuff like that. He's got that power. So she can't do nothing. If she were to sign a piece of document, it would mean nothing to nobody.
Yeah.
It would mean nothing. So, you know, that we need to demand more of our so-called politicians, our so-called leadership. We need to stop playing games with that. We need to have them put something on the table, enough of the pie in the sky. Stop trying to sell me hope. Stop trying to sell me figureheads and, you know, imagery and swag. I don't need all that. I need real, honest-to-goodness stuff that works. And if that's not on the table, I don't care how black you are. You could be the darkest chocolate thing on the planet. That don't mean nothing to me because you don't mean nothing to us. Obviously, you don't mean nothing to us because you're not giving us nothing. So, you know, it's nothing wrong with us requesting and demanding that Obama put something on the table. He's been here. We've got a chance to see what he's been doing. This is plenty of time to see if he was about us. You've got plenty of time to see that now. So why are we coming down to the end of the wire? We don't really see nothing. What's that all about?
And you know what? Like I said, you're Baltimore. It's like, because I remember, like, Stephanie Rawlins Blake, she took a lot of heat to mayor. But your prosecutor, she went off. She put her foot down and charged them. That's all we asked for. At least charge them.
That's right. And they did. They charged them, and they're still going to court right now. Problem.
And she's going to fight. And she's going to fight. All we asked for is a fight. You know.
He's too scared to fight. I don't think Obama's not a fighter. Obama's soft. No, I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it like it is. He's soft to me. Too soft. He's too soft. So,
yeah. And that's the thing.
He's a soft. He's one of the softest presidents I've seen.
And you know what the thing is? It's like when people say, because some of this stuff I'm going to probably repeat myself what I had earlier before people called in. You know this. Latinos, these illegal immigrants, are getting 1 in 4 states that get driver's licenses. And also many are getting these tax returns up to 3 years. And now, they shouldn't get them. But he's out in front fighting for them and getting executive orders for them.
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say. This is ridiculous because they are illegal. I don't care what you say. You may not agree with Trump, but Trump's right, though. They're illegal.
Yep.
So why are we giving them stuff that – why are they getting benefits as being legal residents of the United States when they don't deserve that? Period. Mm-hmm. Those resources can go to legal residents of the United States, and they should go to legal residents of the United States and no one else. Period. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
You look over there right now. You look over there in Turkey, Germany, all those people, all these Syrians going up there. They're having problems with that because they're like, look, well, we can't keep helping these people. They're not even supposed to be here like that. And it's hurting our economy. Feeding and taking care of all these people because, you know, they're not supposed to be here. They're not really – they're just leeching off of us. I mean, now I give it to the Hispanics. Okay, they come here, they work. Okay, but even still, though, they're not legal. So they shouldn't be getting legal benefits from the state or the government, period. There's no ifs, no ands, no buts. They should be out in the cold. If they should feel just like somebody who was a convicted felon, out in the doggone cold.
Yeah,
that's
because
how
if we can't cross the border of Mexico, we'd be getting that cold shoulder right now.
Yes, sir, you would.
And,
yes, sir, you would.
And I know it's the fact that there's a lot of things because now we see. I was telling my sister's one of the smartest women I know, and she actually got her kids. 9-year-old boy, I got to brag on him real quick. He's in a gifted program for math, finished high up in the math competition. He did. The other two already love science and everything, which is good.
That's what's up. That's good.
Yeah. And
we need more.
Yeah. And, you know, and I was talking to her, and I was like, the only reason that I wanted Trump to win is that hopefully this will get black people be serious about economic empowerment.
I don't mind Trump winning. I really don't. I'm not necessarily a Trump fan, but I don't mind because, for one, I'm going to just give it to you. He obviously got a backbone, obviously. I mean, he pissed off a lot of people, but he don't care, though. And see, that's the thing about it. When Obama, he wanted to be all Mr. Nice Guy to everybody. When you're a president, man, you need to be able to, you know, toughen up. You're going to have to toughen up. And you know, hey, they're going to be ticked off. So what? So Bush did it. He's like, hell with you guys. I don't care what you guys say. This is what's going to happen, period. That's how it's going to be. I don't know what his problem is, especially when it comes to us. But, okay, go back to you saying your son, I mean your nephew, I guess your nephew.
Yeah, all three of them, yeah. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was saying, it was like, well, all three of them, we were talking to her. We were talking like this morning. And, you know, pretty much already got them like into math, sciences, all that stuff, and wanting to teach them when they get a little bit older about like, starting a business, doing stuff of that sort, because things she wants to work on also. And she's in IT. And so we were talking about the pay gap. I said it's also how 9 days after President Obama got in office, he signed a Lilly Ledbetter Act, 9 days after for equal pay, and pretty much equal pay for white women. And my sister was like, well, what can you do? I said, at least even address the issue, you know, because I was like, at least address the issue so it shows like he actually cares. And because I was like, you know, black women got more degrees than white women. Now, we ain't talking about not the field. That's a whole different show. But,
hey, that is a different show. They may have the degrees, but they ain't getting the paper like that. But that's all right, though.
And my sister's IT, and she's doing well, great for herself. And but she's even like, she wants to make sure her boys are getting in those fields as well, young, so they get an idea. And if they want to play sports, fine. They don't. She's not looking at sports as the way out. And though they're living great now, and things of that sort, putting them in now. And I was telling her, I said, that's what you have to do, because I was like, she even joked with me talking about, I might be Republican. I'm tired of these liberals taking money out of my check. you know? But I was telling her,
I'm staying independent.
Like,
yeah, with that, I'm not going to either of them sides. I'm staying independent. Heck that.
I told her, yeah, independent. Cause I said, I vote for who says about black people. And I was telling her also, I was like, I had to look at her, you know, because she has time to watch. I told her DVR, and she got back with me. When they had the Democrat debate on Univision, there with Hillary and Bernie was there. There was no door to dab. There was no wobble. There was no nay-nay. There was no eating burritos and tamales and churros. It was business. It was, what are you going to do for us?
Period.
No religion. None of that. It's
no,
what are you going to do
no
for us?
No mariachis and none of that stuff.
Yeah, because religion, I say there is a place for your religion and spirituality, but not when it comes to politics, because politics is pretty much business, in my opinion. But there's a place for it, but as black people, we need to stop trotting out these preachers who don't have our best interests at heart in economic debate, economic issues. Because, like,
they never have.
Yep.
It's been a long time since I've seen these so-called, you know, I got a difference when it comes to, I'm spiritual. That stuff I call religion. And religion's got its own game. And their game is get what they can. And they do what they got to do, but they don't really do a lot for us anyway. They do a lot for themselves, though. They play for themselves. You know what I mean? We got a bunch of these churches stacked on up here, but what are these churches doing? Most of them are doing nothing. So it's like, well, in the middle of the black community, we have tons of churches, but the black community in that same area where these churches are, places damaged. Everything's destroyed. Oh, people ain't got jobs. All kind of, I'm like, well, how is that possible? And then they say they come from the tenets of the book. Well, the book says you're supposed to help out your people, so I don't get it. I'm trying to understand what they're doing. But
yeah, because I was still in the Air Force. I had this old civilian white guy in his 50s, Tom. He invited me like to church with him one day. And I was like, all right, I'm not a spiritual guy. I'm like more agnostic. But I said, I still respect the invite. Because most of the time, you still respect the invite and go anyway.
And you probably get some free food. Don't worry about that free food.
Yeah, that too. Like, right, as a white guy, so what kills me is that they were talking a lot of, they did read books of scripture, but they talked about a lot of business as well, and people were networking and business stuff like that also in there. So,
yeah,
like, a lot of stuff ties in. Kind of look at this. We got black churches here that you got all those black people sitting in that building each and every Sunday. Where those men have the voices, think about it. You don't have to be the one giving the message. You could bring someone with the message who could
right.
talk about building a business or, hey, we could donate to this business. We could do this, or we could say, got this land. It's what we want to do. Or who's interested in learning about getting an IT certification, or like you doing HVAC or things of that sort. So
right.
or we could tell you how, but you have to show us that you're committed to doing it as well, because it's resources. But here's the thing also, black people. Yes, we can give out free consultation, but consultation costs money because you're paying for knowledge and you're paying for that person's time as well.
Exactly. They like stuff.
Yeah.
There's too many of our people who want to freeload stuff. They need to cut that out, okay, because that's how these other groups are doing well, because, Donald Trump get paid for his knowledge. I get paid for my knowledge. You know, other people get paid. They get paid for their knowledge. So our people need to realize, look, yes, you're going to get some free stuff, but some stuff you're going to have to put some money on the doggone table and stop whining and crying about it. You know, because if you don't support your own people, how do you expect it to get better? I'm trying to figure out how they expect that. If everything is doggone free all the doggone time, how do you expect everything to be good if it's always free all the time? We're not in that world. That world don't exist. We're not here in that world. In this world, money has to be put on the table. So put the money on the table so you can get the quality that you deserve. Okay, the quality that you desire. Let's make that happen. I don't know what's up with our people. They don't want to do that.
and see, that's even in politics, because I was saying earlier, before I had a difficulty, in Ferguson, Missouri, the mayor, Jay Knowles, ran on a campaign budget funding of $2,600. I got that in my bank account right now. I got more than that, but I'm just saying. So, and people say, oh, man, I have money. And so people get mad at me when I say this. I say, look at everyone's feet. Look at what everybody got for Christmas. Look at how many Air Jordans, LeBrons people have. Look at how many people got $500 hoverboards. So look at
watch
what we could do. Yeah.
All that gold fronts. I was listening to the guys in school talking about, yeah, how much you pay for your gold front? This dude got a gold front in school. He's like, yeah, this was $180, $125. They're like, really? You know what I mean? Go get some real. But they talking about, they giving pointers on how to spend the money. I'm like, why don't you all buy it? Like, you need to be putting money into campaigns. You need to be putting money into these politicians into these groups so we can get some stuff done. You know what I mean? They don't want to do that. They want to spend money on some of the most frivolous things and expect everything to change. I don't. It doesn't make any sense. I'm just like, well, you're gonna keep. We're gonna keep losing because you guys want. You guys love losing. I've never seen so many people love losing so much. I'm sick of being around black people love losing.
You know what it is? Also, even the gold fronts. We could have had somebody like Paul Wall, like black people like Paul Wall, open your own grill store. if you like it, make money off of it. If like we got the women with the weaves, let's go to Asia, get the weaves also. No one's stopping you from going over there if that's what you want to do. Hey, I tell you this real quick. Business ties into politicians, because you know this, the most powerful person in your town, the most powerful people are the ones who own the business because they control the jobs. And
of course they do. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
In my hometown, we got a Hyundai plant. They got at least 10,000 employees. I said it before. I'll share it again for the new people. My cousin, we also had a business. She was like, yeah. I was like, she's like, yeah. You know, the police can't even go over there unless they call. And I was like, you know why? Know why that is, cuz? She's like, why? The owners of those at plant control the jobs. And he could tell that mayor, hey, one, it's pretty much his own city. Could they have his own plumbing system and all that probably? His own power grid and all that probably.
Exactly.
But I said, here's the thing. They control jobs. And if they say, hey, if you don't keep these police from messing with us or coming over here, we can take these jobs, go to the next county. How that's going to look for a mayor? It ain't going to work out for him. And that's a lot of people lose their jobs. They're going to be like, we'll vote for the guy. I don't care what he is. I lost my job because this guy was playing around. And see, when we say, like, even no disrespect to Minister Farrakhan, for example, when you talk about justice or else, a question I always had was, or else what? What are we going to take away? Because we don't have anything. And we have to start, even if it's food, something, we can own it. But I want to take kind of call here. And again, people, number 347-850-1065. We got 901-292. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, what's up, T. Smitty? They let you out, man. I was just going to go put some money on your book, bro.
Hey, okay. Joe Neckbone. It's Joe Neckbone. Man,
yeah,
hey, hold on, Joe, man. Joe, man, you went back to New York and everything. That's an all brand new because you're getting those big slices of pizza again.
Yeah, man. And big slices of women eating big slices of pizza. You know, New York is no joke, bro.
Just a show, man. How's everything going with you, brother?
All right, man. Yeah, I see you going in on Obama. Everybody's going in on Obama lately, man. Leave my president alone, bro.
Hey, there you go. But see, here's the thing, Joe. When I talked about him, I was looking at the policy. I said, not the policy, let's say, but how we never demanded anything from him as a people. And all these other groups are demanding stuff. And I'm just like, I have no ill will towards the man. I was looking at how come we never demanded any policies from him. We got the photo op. We got the imagery, the symbolism. I just wonder, why haven't we as a people decided to say, hey, we got that. What kind of policies can we get?
Well, that path cuts two ways, though, Smitty. I mean, not only have we not demanded, you know, black people as a whole do not have an agenda, all right? And that's really the bottom line. You should have an agenda that benefits your people regardless of who's in office, whether it be a black president, white, alien, whatever, lizard, whatever you want to say. But, you know, more than that, we're not taking advantage of policies either, and that's a bad thing. You know, a lot of stuff goes down, and we don't take advantage of it, and then we say, hey, they ain't do nothing for us.
Yeah. Well, hey, Don, your mic's open, too. But go ahead, Sol. What do you got to respond to?
I have to agree, because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're not acting – We're not demanding things. We don't come up with a plan. We don't have a strategy. So, therefore, we're kind of just loose and fancy free running all over the place expecting change. Change don't come without plan. Change don't come without goals. You got to have those on the table, and you got to have something to represent to say, look, we need to have some people who are standing up there saying, look, we represent our constituency. This is what our constituency wants. Okay, you need to give this out there. You need to make this happen. And then, therefore, he can say, okay, look, if I don't go ahead and get this done, they're going to be breathing down my neck all day long until we get this right. And that's what it should be. There's no threat. There's no nothing. It's like, okay, but even still, though, I know in a certain regard I understand what's being said, but I also know he's seen what we go through. If he's been in Chicago, he had to see it. There's no way you can be in Chirac and not know what's going on. So you got to be like, look, you were in Chirac. You know what's happening. You know what we need. So put some stuff on the table. You should know that already anyway. So it's like,
he's the president of the country. You know, and what I'm hearing from a lot of black people is, you know, a lot of my people, I shouldn't say black people, my people is a failure to understand the difference between city, state, and federal politics and what the rules of engagement are for each level of it. You know, the president can't do anything about police in Chicago. The city of Chicago has to do something about police in Chicago. The president can't do really much about crime in Chicago. The city of Chicago has to do something about crime in Chicago. You know, the president doesn't enact laws. Congress does. So, I mean, you know, he can set a tone and a pace, but at the end of the day, people don't have to follow it, and there's no power behind it.
Yeah. But see, you know what my thing is? I'll say this real quick. I'll say this real quick. My thing is, I always believe in that. Local politicians take their cues from the top. President, it's like if he's all about something, he is. States control gay marriage. But yeah, he spoke out about that. He's got executive orders for illegal immigrants. I'm like, can you at least even, it's like, here's the thing. The reason I say that is that if black people turn out for record voting, record number of votes, record turnouts, two straight times, can you at least even acknowledge it? And we know you're not going to be able to change it because of the state thing, but at the same time, he signed a police protection bill where if it's interpreted as a threat, they locking you up. And he's seen black people on YouTube get locked up already, you know, saying things of that sort. So if he could sign that, could he at least acknowledge us? I'm going to Don Calypso real quick. Don, you open, man. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness.
My fellow Americans, I would like to take this moment to apologize to the black community for not having done anything, even though I bent over backwards and spread them with no Vaseline for the LGBT lobby, the Hispanics, and everybody else. However, the truth is, all these other groups for which I did do a lot of things, they forked out some money, which y'all Negroes did not do. What you people don't understand is that the way politics work is that money talks. Also, you guys need to understand, and I must apologize, regarding the Health Care Act that you know as Obamacare. As you know, the narrative is, I have been saying that the Republicans were blocking me. However, the truth is, when I was first elected as your president, I had a supermajority in the House as well as the Senate. I could have had the bill passed any which way I wanted,
no matter
how much Republicans would say vote no. However, like a total mangina and a pussy, I tried to reach across the aisle because I'm a beta male simp. I was trying to work with others instead of wielding power. And the truth is, I did not have control over my own party, which is why I lost the House in the midterm elections of 2010, and then I lost the Senate. I must apologize. I have failed you, but you Negroes need to understand, even though I'm a black man, I was raised by my white grandmother and grandfather, so culturally speaking, I am white, and I was looking after my own people. Y'all niggas just did not understand because you were too stuck in the symbolism and the swag. I know I should apologize, but that's just how it is. And I know y'all niggas are pissed with me, but I'm out of a job in 2016, come January 2017. Therefore, there's nothing you can do about it. Do not count on Hillary. She ain't going to do nothing for you. So whichever way you toss the salad, you're screwed. So last thing I need to say, ladies, thank you for listening. T. Smitty is not your baby daddy. I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? And the thing is, I always believe it's that, hey, also black people, we got to start embracing, hey, don't look at the moral aspect of capitalism says it's bad. Everybody else is playing by the same rules. It's like we play football, and if a touchdown is 6 points, we can't come around and say the touchdown is 4 points. It's six
exactly.
points. You got to play it.
That's right.
You may not like it, but these are the rules. So there by capitalism, we got to be about it also because Bernie Sanders is perceived to be a socialist. People who own businesses and want to do like that type of people, they don't want that type of government, you know, because like my stepfather, for example, he's a pretty good mechanic, great mechanic. Why should he get the same salary or his money redistributed around somewhere as the same guy who's a low mechanic? And I know Saul, you was in the military too. No matter how good a job you do, no matter how much you outperform, everybody else is just saying their experience or rank, you're getting the same check.
Yes, sir.
That's socialism. Y'all want that. Redistribution of wealth. And I hate to say this, the people who own those businesses, they don't want their wealth trickled down. I know it doesn't sound right. I know it doesn't sound fair. Fair is a place where they judge pigs. And here's the thing, people. I'll say this also. It's a whole other show, but I'm going to touch on this. Carl's Jr. CEO, or my people down south where I'm from, is Hardee's. He said he wants to have machines taken over for people. So you can say that's not fair all you want, but hey, he has the power. And so what I'm saying is that in politics, in this stuff, we need to have black business owners. We need to stop being afraid of black people getting into the business, owning land. And that's why I want to ask Joe Neckbone this real quick. Joe, you still on, brother?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, got a question. What part of New York you from? What part of New York you from, by the way?
New York City.
All right, so But I think your way around Harlem, stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I know it's been justified out. Correct me if I'm wrong here.
You wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm. They coming at Brooklyn next. But here's the question.
My area. I live in Jamaica, Queens, and
Rich.
You know, I've been seeing. All right, there's a Dunkin' Donuts in my neighborhood, and I found out that designer coffee is like crack for white people. Okay.
Yeah.
If you put up a designer coffee shop, they're gonna come. And I've been seeing white faces in there, and these ain't the normal white faces. This area used to be Italian, and now it's turning just, you know, white, gentrified, coffee drinking, white, you know, Whole Foods shopping, you know, that kind of white. And so they're driving up the property values, which is a good thing. The bad thing is they're also driving up the taxes that you pay on those property values. And
yeah, of course,
it's pricing a lot of the old people out.
They're going to get priced out because here's the thing. If we don't control our areas, we can't control the value. We're not doing that. We're not greasing the wheels. We're not the wheel. Tax money, if you're putting in transition and changes, gentrification, that's tax money. Tax money goes to where?
It goes to
the city, right? And who's mm-hmm. over the tax money in the city? The politician.
The mayor. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So if you want change, you got to put something in the tip. You got to put something in the plate. If you don't put nothing in the plate, you ain't going to get nothing back out the plate. So
content,
like, you know,
kitty.
You know what I mean? That's how it works. So we come into the community. We're living in the community. I'm here in Baltimore. I see it up in New York, too. I see the same thing. They're coming through, and I'm like, look, but they're putting money in there, and they're going to get change and transition as compared to we put nothing in, and we're expecting change and transition. You don't expect if you don't put nothing in there, okay?
Well,
you got to put
something
in there to expect, mm-hmm. okay? If you don't put nothing in there, don't expect nothing, okay? And it's just that simple. If you want change for our community, we know we need black businesses. We know we need them. It's not an if and a but. So we need to support them and put the money in there and back it up so they can get up. They may not have all the things that I like about them. They may have policies I'm not feeling, but a bunch of the policies they do, I might feel. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be something. You're not going to get everything you want. You're going to get something that you do. And we're not getting even the things that we do want because we're not really participating in the process. This is America has two sides of the coin. There's a political system, but there's a capitalistic system on the other side of the coin. You got to play by both sides of that rule. If you ain't going to play by both sides of the rule, don't expect nothing out of it, period. It's no if and a but. It's not up for negotiation. Like Smitty said, these are the rules. Either play by them or lose. That's up to you.
Well, you know, I agree with you, but one thing I always said, too, and this is something that we have to accept as a people, is this. If you want black capital, you have to have black capitalists, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one way to get black capitalists. That means that you have to support their businesses that build them up. And so we seem to want black capital, but we seem to have this bad idea of what it takes to make a black capitalist. It's like, yes, we want businesses and investment in the community. No, we don't want capitalists because capitalism is bad for us. And I hear these opposing arguments, and it just kind of cracks me up because I'm like, you can't have one without the other. You know,
no.
If you want investment in your community, you have to build up investors, and there's
it's
only one way to
Negroes,
do that.
Negroes don't seem to understand that the purpose of a business is to sell a product and make a profit. Businesses are not nonprofit charities just to benefit the community. Seems like Negroes don't understand. They don't seem to understand that if a business is not profitable, it's not going to stand. But hey, that's not my area of expertise. I'm a biologist. I'm not a business person. I'm not a political scientist. But another thing, which Joe Neckbone, I'm glad you touched on, as far as the different levels of government, seems like niggas and Negroes do not understand. I mean, I'm a foreigner. I was not born here. I did not even go to school here in the United States, at least at the elementary and secondary level. I did go to an American school. I paid attention in my civics class about the difference between local, municipal, state, and federal. Most Americans seem to me like they don't understand the difference, which is why they expect the Mary O. to fix all of their problems. You know, and I always said, I talk about that with T. Smitty in private offline conversations. Yes, you know, you need the businesses to grease the paws of politicians. But before you can even grease the politicians' paws, as far as who gets elected, Negroes don't seem to get that if they paid attention to their local elections as opposed to only voting for the president, they could have voted out that racist judge who always throws the book at black people but lets white people get away with all kinds of egregious murders. You know, you could get rid of the corrupt prosecuting attorney, whether it's for the state or the city, that when the cops do something, they'll purposefully, you know, either overcharge or undercharge, you know, the... You know, when it comes to charging a person with the crime, where a manslaughter would go, they might charge with murder, knowing full well the person's going to get away. Stuff like that. If black people paid attention to this and voted those people out, that would make a difference. That's the change you can believe in. It's not about which clown is at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or which one of those 535 monkeys on Capitol Hill or those 9 monkeys on the Supreme Court bench. That's not what affects you, your everyday life. And I liken a lot of Negroes who tend to vote Democratic, I liken them to the same Lavalas idiots in Haiti who seem to think that the president is all powerful. I see too many parallels, and I'm starting to think that melanin seems to fuck up the thinking of people when it comes to certain things. Because I saw that bullshit when I lived in Africa, I saw that bullshit when I lived back home in Haiti, and I'm seeing that bullshit with the Negro community here. So... If they had the same turnout for every election at the local level like they did in 2008, a lot more could have been done, you know, I think. But I'm just a foreign observer. Remember, I pay taxes, but I can't vote.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, we have your naturalized citizen coon card on hold for you here, Don Calypso. So you can pick it up whenever you're ready, man, to join the coons, you know.
Hey.
I'm not cooning for anybody. I'm not cooning. I'm not buck dancing. I'll whip my dick out, but I'm not cooning buck dancing.
No, because that's where I get called a coon so much, man. I said, I'm going to start the coon club for real. We're going to issue out some ID cards and make it an official organization, a non-profit. So, yeah, we got your naturalized citizen coon card on hold. Smitty's grandfather.
I will wear a raccoon skin hat. But I will not be a coon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what, though?
We're neo-coons.
You know what, though? By the way, the president is a neoliberal. I hate to break that to people, but here's the thing. When you look at this, even though people talk local, federal, whatever, we should demand something from all levels. Because everybody, it's like even like Loretta Lynch, like not Loretta Lynch, but when President Obama appointed his new, recommended his chief to Supreme Court justice, I saw all these black people get mad saying, he should have nominated a black woman. I'm like, okay, but what is that black woman going to do? What is she going to do? What does she stand for? I don't care about the pigmentation of the skin being in the position. I want to know what does she stand for. Clarence Thomas is black, and we know what he stands for.
Good God.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter if you're black. It matters about what you stand for. Let me see who it is.
That's what a lot of our people are talking about. They're only concerned about the skin tone and not the value or the mentality.
Hold on 1 second. Whoever got the background noise, mute your phone.
I'm sorry. That's me. Hold on. I'm going to mute myself on my end. I was trying to wash dishes on the low. Hold on. You guys know I'm a domestic. I like to be a patriarchal, oppressive, chauvinist pig by doing all the housework. You know that? Come on. I'm waiting for the feminists to call in and be upset about that.
That's right. Fight the power as you wash them dishes, man.
Exactly. That's right.
Get the dishes done, yo. But seriously, though. It's too much. See, every time I turn around, it's like color, color, color. And I'm like, what about value? It don't matter what color if you don't have the right values on the table. And we can see that over and over and over again. And I don't know how much longer it takes for us to constantly keep watching the same old movie before we realize the end of the story. I mean, we still haven't figured the end of the movie yet. The end of the movie is the same thing. Just because you put skin tone in there don't mean you're going to get the rights you should be getting. Okay? Because, again, if we're not demanding certain things, we're not going to get them. It's just that simple.
Yep. And here's the thing also, and it's like, I don't know if Joe called in right this time, but I was saying things like, and I'll recap some of the things I said because I had technical difficulties before I started back up. The reason I say we could criticize some of the things, even speak out on it, because I remember President Obama went out on an Ellen DeGeneres show, that's always been a tongue twister for me recently, and bragged about and boasted about how he was out in front of the gay marriage movement. That's a state issue. But he was out in front on that. He's been out in front giving executive orders for illegal immigrants who are non-citizens. And also 9 days in the office, he signed a Lilly Ledbetter Act for white women to get equal pay. And black women championed this, but black women are still getting paid less for the same work. That's the things we got to worry about. No one ever addresses that. So my whole thing has always been, a lot of stuff is state issues. But he can get out in front and at least speak on it, put his name on it. But when it comes to black people, it's always people of color, minorities, poor people, indigenous people, whatever they want to homogenize us into. Because minorities, because they hate to break this to people, white women are considered minorities. And they're actually the biggest benefactors of affirmative action. Well, because of the white man's companies, for example, but that's a whole different show. So my thing is,
beneficiary, Smitty. Give the benefit. The beneficiary gets it. Sorry. I don't mean to be a grammar Nazi, but that kind of, you know, makes my ass itch when people make that mistake. Carry on.
All right. Don, wash the dishes and rub your wife's feet, but go ahead.
No, my thing is, how is it that women are considered minority in the first place? Because they outnumber us more. There are more women than there are men. So how do they fall into a minority category is what I'm trying to understand. I still can't figure that out because when you calculate the numbers, it's obvious they're not a minority. So,
well, not by population, but by representation in business.
Well, but I'm sorry, I got to say this real quick. Here's the crazy part about it. A lot of those business fields, women don't want to go into those. Many want to be teachers, nurses. You know, they're in the business. Many times, they're the receptionists that work in middle management. They're not trying. Most of them aren't trying to get up real high. And so a lot of it is those jobs they choose to take, but nobody wants to address that either.
Well, see, that was addressed on NPR. I heard a show, I don't know if it was last week or this week, they were talking about a lot of these women who are getting educated and going out to the workforce. And they're getting underpaid because they're choosing the wrong field. They're literally choosing the wrong field. So it's not their fault, I guess, because they choose the wrong field, but they expect to get more money. But that doesn't make any sense because if you choose the wrong field, you're going to get paid the money that runs in that particular type of field. And when they have opportunities to go into other type of heavy-duty type of positions, they really don't want to go up in there. Like you just said, they're not trying to be up in there. So I'm like, I'm confused. When we start getting into the issues regarding the women, man, it's really confusing because it doesn't make any sense. It's like, what? I mean, it's like you get these degrees, you should have went into this field over here as an engineer. With your mathematics degree, you should have been in the engineering side. You went over there to be some kind of a political or something like that. You went into some other stuff. Instead of going into where you actually should have been profiting, you went somewhere else. And so you're mad because you're not getting enough money, but then you're like, you know, I'm putting all this effort and time into running a family, and I want more money for the family, but you chose not to go to the place where more money is available for the family. So I'm kind of – I don't get it. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. I was like, that's what they put on NPR. They said a lot of these women are choosing the wrong field, period. There's no if, no and, no but.
You do know that it was one of the platforms of the Republican Party, right? They wanted to scale degrees based on the subject and scale the cost of the degree based on the subject.
Well, Republicans do some interesting things. So, you know, again, I'm not.
Yeah, I think it was Rubio. Yeah, it was Rubio that wanted to do that. Because
that's a reason.
If you want to have a liberal arts degree, you're going to pay the same as a guy who's coming out with a math degree, physics, you know, on and on. It's actually the same exact cost. So they were saying, wait a minute, hold on. this guy who gets a liberal arts degree, how is he going to contribute to society? He should pay more for that degree than a guy who's going to come out and actually contribute. So they wanted to scale those costs.
I don't like that one. I said, make it all the same. It's your problem if you chose a liberal arts degree or psychology and you're not going for your doctorate. And I remember, like, even President Obama, speaking of women, he tried to get in, like, a Title IX. Many people know about Title IX when it comes to women's sports, when it comes to college sports. And by the way, besides UConn and Tennessee women basketball, women's sports are in the red. They're hemorrhaging money from the football team. But they got to have them. But that's a whole different show. But the thing is, they tried to talk about Title IX for women in those STEM fields. But the problem is, women don't want to go into those fields by nature.
Nope,
they're not hardwired for that. And because many people don't realize, a lot of engineering firms, I have no kids. A woman can have no kids also. She will get paid more than me. Because and those studies have shown that they will try to pay women more because, you know, it makes them look like they're attracting women. They want to hire women. It's a deeper issue behind that. But again, I can say people, number 347-850-1065. Hit the number one. Let me know that you want to get in and talk. But so, like I said, it's a lot of deep issues here. And the reason I brought this up is he addressed a lot of other issues. I said this before, so I had technical difficulties. So sorry to repeat myself, people who may listen to both. They spoke, like I said, for the white women, spoke out for the illegal immigrants, spoke out for the LGBT, and executive orders with the illegal immigrants. Where's the executive order for black people? He even signed a bill for police protection. But when it comes to black people, we are people of color, we are minorities, we are whatever they call us, we're poor people. But at the end of the day, we also must understand that if this is a capitalist society, we're going to have to play by capitalism rules. Meaning, and I said this earlier, Joker, I know you missed this part. I told it to Soul. You probably missed some kind of technical difficulties. I give homework to every black person out there listening to me. Go to your local grocery store. If you're in the food desert, if you got a chance, when you buy a new Jordans, come out in suburban malls, go to your local grocery store in them areas. Look at how many businesses are right in that shopping center, that grocery store. You can have a dry cleaner, pet store. You can have a couple of restaurants and a mom and pop restaurants. You got a bank in the area. Yeah, you know, all kind of different things. But here's the kicker, black people got to understand. We may not all like each other, but it's all about coming together for that money. Because that whole shopping district, that grocery store district, because a lot of people look at it as a one-stop shop, you know. Because if I get my groceries here, I can pick up my dry cleaning at the same time. I have to go somewhere else. They may not be just changing Christmas cards, but when it comes to those city council meetings, when it comes to those Chamber of Commerce meetings, they're all unified because they all tied in together.
And, but see, that's the other thing. The other thing, Smitty, you got to concede. When I go, let me tell you something. When I go to the city council meetings or any of these particular political type of things, a lot of our people ain't there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't show. They're not even there. So the only time when you hear our people talking about stuff is election time, but what about during the rest of the year? they're nowhere to be found. I'm like, where are you guys at? They don't participate in the political process. They don't participate in the educational processes, not until one time of the year. It's just like one time of the year, then everybody want to show in it. They got all these requests, and then after that, they go back to the same old of not being in participation. So I'm like, this makes it hard to try to help for our people, and it's hard to come up with a decent agenda. People are no-shows. I mean, there's a lot of no-showing going on. I'm not kidding on that. If you guys go to your political event, I guarantee you, during the time of the year, why not during election time, during the time of the year, of the regular times of the year, go in there and see. And you're going to be sitting there like, where are my people at? Where are they at? There's no one there. I was like, man, unbelievable, man. This is ridiculous. And they wonder why the laws are against them, because you weren't there. You put no voice out there.
It ties back to what I said earlier. So remember what I said? I said from what I've observed well, I was a child when I'm in Africa. When I was there in Haiti, as well as when I was there here, I honestly think there's a direct correlation between how much melanin you have in your, you know, in your epidermis, and your affinity for symbolism over concrete action. Honestly, I think it's not just in the United States. I think it's worldwide. Black people seem to be more content with the symbolism of something than actually achieving. The symbolism of having a black man in the White House seems to matter more than the concrete action of being engaged just as much in your local politics. You know, and you, way back when, I don't know if you remember, when I used to host a show with Ronan and Alvin on Straight True BC's channel, I did a show on Article 2 of the Constitution, which I cussed out all of Black America about, you know, not understanding how the government works, and I explain what the president does and how what Negroes want most, all the stuff they expected out of Obama from the very beginning, is what they could attain if they paid attention at the local level. Because when you think about it, whoever represents your district at a local level, they live close enough that you and your neighbors, you're pissed off. You can walk, get in front of that person's front lawn and scare the shit out of them.
Exactly.
You can't do that with those clowns on Capitol Hill. And when you think about it, Congress, yeah, they do a lot of domestic stuff, but the president, Congress and stuff, that's running the country on the international scene. They're representing the United States on the global level. They're not. The president is not the person who's going to handle when you have issue with potholes in your neighborhood, you know, your local neighborhood school doing bad. That's the job of your mayor. And if you want a higher level than just your local municipal level, how many Negroes even pay attention to who is their governor? I mean, people make a big deal. Okay, we had Obama, the first black president. How many black governors have we had in this country? I mean, wasn't there that one guy in Virginia that was one black guy?
That was wild. Yeah.
You have so all those states, even the so-called liberal states like California, the state of Californication. No diss to you and your home state, soul, but even the most liberal California. Have you guys ever had a black governor?
No.
See?
We had one from not of America, though. We had Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Well, no, you can be governor if you're natural. You just cannot be president. And
oh,
I heard there was talk of amend the Constitution for that. But here's my thing. Why is it – how many Negroes even know who's the governor? How many Negroes – I bet you more Negroes, those who even pay attention, they might know who are their representatives – in Congress for their district and who their senators are. How many of them know who their state senators and state reps are? Probably not. How many Negroes know who is the governor, who is sitting at the governor's mansion for their state, and who's the lieutenant governor? They don't. How many people know who are the people, who are the justices sitting in their state Supreme Court? Who is the prosecuting attorneys for the local county? This is the kind of stuff. You know. Here's what pisses me off. A lot of people are pissed off at Obama, rightly so, but think about this. It's not Obama's job to fire those judges who are elected, mind you, those judges who do this discriminatory sentencing. Remember there was a case about the judge in Pennsylvania who got arrested because he got caught basically, you know, making deal with the private prisons to sentence black kids so they can make money?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Well, those kind of positions, those are elected. It's the Supreme Court is appointed for life. Maybe even at other high level federal are appointed, but at your state and local level, those are elected positions. And people complain. You know, the sheriff. Sheriff is an elected position. You can fire. You know, they work for you. Can fire. So if niggas paid attention and vote, this is why all the voter support. When people seem to say, oh, they want to make the voting laws, it's not to prevent you from voting at the federal level and stuff. It's to make sure your Negro ass cannot vote at the local level where it really affects your life. And people are too blind to see that because hey, we got a black man in the White House. We got a lady with a nice badonkadonk. You know. Okay, hey, she looks better than a lot of other first ladies we have, but bottom line is, that's just symbolism. I keep on saying, I'm a fucking foreigner. I should not be teaching Americans about this.
Well, see, that's the thing, Don. They don't want to get involved, but they want to get the benefit.
I don't understand that. I'm like, how do you not get involved and expect benefits? It doesn't work that way. I don't know how. I don't know how many times we got to keep telling our own people this. And if you're saying that and you're talking all that stuff, you want some cool stuff. You want some, oh, you one of them crazy black folks or whatever. What? If we don't get our people straight in the head about what's really going on and start complaining. I mean, Dr. Umar is running around yelling all this stuff, but he should be saying what you're saying, Umar. I mean, what you're saying, Don, you should be telling you, look, we need to get this guy out of this particular office right here. We need to take care of this person out of this particular office over here. You need to take care of your local government. You need to get involved. We had a good function, a good chunk of our people after the Civil Rights Movement. We had a lot of black folks got into local government. That's how a lot of things changed. Now that's changed because a lot of them not involved. They all want to get a paycheck from the local government, but they're not actually trying to get into the positions that affect change. They have nothing to do with that now.
I'll say this real quick. All right, listen to everybody on this. And let's go a little deeper on this. Let's go to this Flint water crisis, whatever. All right.
Oh,
it's like when people say affect change. Look at how many black people, when I was growing up, I was always told, hey, try to get on the state or try to get on this plant, get a job at the plant. And a lot of those black men got jobs or have to just stay at entry level. A lot of jobs are entry level jobs. You know, they paid good, but it was entry level. And now you got this is where the business owner, the corporations got the power. They got it now where they're actually cutting y'all benefits, y'all pensions.
Yep.
They call y'all creditors. So they cutting that stuff. So you're sitting down there trying to cut the check forever. I'm not knocking you put your years in, but those are things they're doing because they have the power and the funding to influence that. But back to what I was saying about Flint. If I remember correctly, it's a majority black town. If I remember correctly, someone correct me if I'm wrong. But,
chocolate City. Another chocolate city.
So here's the thing. Well, all these black people work at the plant making good money. Why are we still not there controlling the majority of the businesses there? Here's the thing. You control the business, you got your money coming in. So that governor, that mayor, because here's the thing. Y'all want Rick Snyder arrested. Who the hell going to arrest him? The sheriff isn't. Because guess who the sheriff works for? Him. Who do you want these people to do? We got to stop thinking about white people going to punish themselves. We have to create an apparatus, which these other groups are doing, and I'll say this real quick. This is what I like about Phoenix. You get to see how much of a farce the black and brown coalition is firsthand. Had a neighbor. He created his own cab service, a limo service. We were talking. He was like, yellow cab, they don't want to pick up my people. Give them a ride. So what he does, he got his own cab service, a limo service.
There you go. Problem solved.
So instead of complaining about white folks, I got my own stuff, and it's Spanish speaking too. And I'll say this also. Chick I used to date, we went to buy some lobsters at this Vietnamese store, grocery store. I said, peep game on this. Look at all these stores here, this shopping center. They're all written in a Vietnamese language. They even got a dental clinic right there written in Vietnamese language. Paul had the English on there also. Well, I walked I said, pay attention, walk in the store. You see their kids are working in the front. The boys are bagging the groceries. The girls are the cashiers.
Mm-hmm.
Their teenagers have jobs.
Yep.
Well, like Chicago, we got 95%. Yeah, you got 95% black male unemployment rate for like these teenagers. Black teenagers can't get jobs. So their kids got jobs. All right. And a boy, let's say a 16-year-old boy, he get a couple $100 in his pocket every 2 weeks. He feels good. Could take his girlfriend out of Applebee's or something. If he want to buy a pair of shoes, he could buy it. You know, something like that. But here's the thing also. Besides the one white guy in there cutting meat, everybody in that store was Asian. And most people shopping there was Asian.
I got no problem with that.
Me either.
I'm not mad at them. I ain't mad at them because they're doing what makes sense. Okay?
Yeah.
That's intelligence. I mean, you know, we talk about all these brothers and sisters talking about they got degrees and stuff like that, but they're acting like their mind don't work. I'm like, I don't get it, yo. And when you have a large number of the populace, who's black folks who are working, you should have a large number of the political positions controlled and dominated by black people as well. That's what it should be. And we should be getting benefits out of that. We should also have businesses. See, like you like you gave the example, this dude, he started up his own cab company. That's an opportunity. When we see all these things that are lacking for black folks, that's opportunity. You should see it all day long. You're like, look, that's an opportunity for a business right here. Let me go ahead and get that money. You know what I mean? Instead of them doing that, they're expecting you to go ahead and provide them a job. But well, I'm like, look, how about you make the jobs then? If they're not gonna, if you see that there's a need, that's a business opportunity. Where I come from, business, that's a business opportunity. So take it.
And also, you know what else? What else? I'm gonna ask Joe this question also. But it's like, and what happens to opportunity? You create opportunities for others who may not, you know, they can have that job driving. But here's the thing with Joe. I know you've been you're a native New Yorker. I'm only 37. Ever since I was a kid, I heard black people in New York, my white folks won't pick them up. And I know you know that's true. You've seen it firsthand. But how come no black person that say start their own black cab company? They may all have 10 cars.
They do.
It could be something picking black. Oh, they do? Okay. What, and how come no one ever talks about them like that? Or do black people even go
they
to
them?
They
do. You ever hear a rap where they say, you know, when somebody talks about an OJ, that's a cab company.
Yeah.
There used to be a cab company uptown back in the day. That catered to the black neighborhoods. And they got what they call dollar cabs out here in my area because there's a lot of Caribbean folks. Basically, they run the same route as the bus route because the buses are, like, iffy out here. And they stop at the bus stops, and you just give the guy a dollar and go on about your business. But, yeah, there's tons of them out here.
Yeah. And that's some of the things where with people, they should be putting that stuff out there. Especially out there because you hear all the time people complain, like, well nobody started anything. It's like in my hometown, Montgomery, Alabama. I tell my mom this, and I said, I'm going to piss off black folks. I'm about to say this. And I'll tell my mom, say, you know the bus, Montgomery bus boycott was a failure, right? She's like, what do you mean? I was like, because we end up getting back on their buses. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't create our own. I said, I don't care if it's five buses. It's yours. And you don't need that money. Because I said, the reason... I was telling my mom this, we was talking, and I said, the reason racism is still there is because it's in white people's best interest. It's not even a personal thing. With them. It's business with them. And I say this real quick. I say this real quick. And the thing is, and I was like, even with the bus system, you had your own. Even you had your own, and a guy, let's just say, Mr. Johnson, he got on the white bus that day, but he has the option to get on a black one tomorrow if he don't like what he's seeing on that one. But we never create the people who can create the opportunity. We don't create the alternative. So instead of complaining about workplace discrimination, we should be able to create our own IBM, create our own restaurants, and create our own stores. Mm-hmm. You know, if we all talk about black people buying Air Jordan, why don't we have someone own a Nike store, like own a shoe store, and sell Jordans themselves? If the people are going to buy it anyway, at least let the black person own the store and make the money. You know, the black people work at the store make some money. Ball star, go ahead, Joe.
You know about the underground Chinese bus network, right?
That's in New York, right?
Well, it stretches from New York to San Francisco. And basically, you ever wonder how, like, you can go to Podunk, Wisconsin, go to a Chinese restaurant, and there's Chinese there? You ever wonder how to get there? Because
right there.
The restaurant owners and these underground Chinese bus companies work together. They open a restaurant someplace, and these bus companies basically, you know, provide a transportation network, a pipeline, so they can get off the boat in New York or San Francisco and go out and work at these places in the middle of nowhere. And so they give them housing. They give them basically everything they need to live, and they, at the end of the day, they have a contract with the restaurant to work there 10, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And so this bus network, they just started allowing, you know, us Americans to ride on. So you can go from Maine to Atlanta for next to nothing on these Chinese buses.
Yeah, that's what they got. I used to tell my boys from up in New York to come down here to Baltimore. I said, you can get a Chinese bus and you can spend $20 to come on down here and be right here. $20. I'm like, $20? I'm like, because Greyhound is like 60 or 70. I was like, you can pay.
Right.
Now, here's the thing, though. A good chunk of black folks are coming back and forth. I'm like, how come we don't have our own route? We should have our own stuff by now. You know what I mean? And I'm like thinking, all I keep seeing is opportunities, but I can't. It's so many of them. It's like, golly, man. You know what I mean? You know, You got to build the capital. I mean, I could be a billionaire and mess around with black folks because the way that they're acting, I might as well just go ahead and just create all these businesses, man, and just take all this money because they don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want it. It's like, okay, you guys don't want this money, so let me just go ahead and get this money. That, don't say nothing, though. Like I said before, I said, what's going to happen to black poppers right now is going to be the 20%, the top 20% of black folks. They're going to be the ones who are going to make the change for us because the rest of us ain't doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you raise the capital to start like a black biotech or a pharma research company, and you need a Negro who knows how to, you know, raise transgenic mouse colonies, extract protein and DNA, purify white blood cells for immune stuff, I'm your man. I'm just saying. Carry on.
We need that. We need all that. We need all that because we don't get the innovations in it. Instead of it going to the white dude who's getting a patent for it and all, it should be coming to us. If it's our people who are producing it, should be coming to. We should be getting enriched from all of this technological knowledge, all of this scientific knowledge, all these things that we're contributing to. We should be benefiting. The cell phone is a black man thing, but who's winning off of that? It ain't us. We buying most of them. So it's like, you know, we create a lot of this stuff. Same thing with the computers. They took it and ran. This should be something the black population should be elevated by now, a long time ago, okay, to a whole nother level. If racism was coming, we would be basically saying, so what, who cares, we already got our own stuff, who gives a whoop? You know what I mean? That's what we should be able to say. We can't say that. We're crying about racism because we don't have enough of our own. That's what the problem is. If we had more of our own, you wouldn't be worried about racism. You'd care less about it. You'd be able to kiss my butt because I'm going over to work at Smitty's shop over here and get my paper, and life is going to be rosy. Who cares about what they do? They won't give me a job, but I got a job over here at Smitty's. I got a job over at Don Calypso's. I got a job over here with John. I can go over anywhere over here. Who cares about all that? I got 10 or 20 of them in the black community I can get. I can care less if they don't give me a job at the white company.
Well, I can tell you this. I was living in Baton Rouge up until recently and found out that there were 127 cabs in the city. Hang on one second. Oh,
And while he's doing that,
yeah.
What
sorry
about
that. Yeah. So like I said, there was 127 cabs in the whole city. 127 in the city of a little less than half a million people. And these cab companies had a monopoly on the licensing for years and years and years. And so they weren't allowing any more licenses to be distributed or given out because they wanted to maintain this monopoly. And so definitely, I looked into it. But it was stymied by that. In fact, they ran the whole taxi and limousine commission.
What would you expect? What would you expect, dude? If we're not in there taking care of business, it's going to get dominated by somebody. If we don't dominate it, then somebody else going to get it. That's what I keep trying to tell our people. I was like, they keep asking for stuff. I'm like, you guys better get off your butt and start getting some stuff done because next thing you know, it's going to be – everything you look at now is going to be basically, it's already happening. Look at most of our communities. Who owns most of the stores? Who owns most, even the fast food stuff, the little stuff, I know the little marks and stuff, the little bodegas. Who's doing all that? That's not us. So it's like, what do you expect? If we don't take care of our own stuff, we're not going to get anywhere. We're going to have to get off the butt. The whining and crying about it ain't going to do it. I'm sorry. We're going to have to do actions required, period.
I will say this, though. I used to be I own a piece of a club with a guy, and we used to get hassled by alcohol and tobacco, local alcohol and tobacco coming in, checking licenses and all that. Well, we started throwing parties for some judges. It was an election year, and we started hosting parties for judges. Hey, bring your people in, we'll take care of you. Miraculously, they started leaving us alone. It's amazing what happened, you know, when you start getting some judges on your side.
It's because you actually are greasing the wheels. You're doing
brown paper bag. The brown paper bag.
You got. Hey, this is how it works, man. And like it or not, that's how it is. If you don't want to play by the rules, you're gonna get beat up by them. It's up to you. You want to either be on the side where you win by the rules, or you're gonna be on the side and lose by the rules. You choose.
Well, if you want to tie it back to the main topic, as far as you know, how Obama failed the black community. The problem is, people are not thinking like Joe Negbone and Sol are talking about as far as seizing opportunity. It looks to me like, again, with that infatuated symbolism, it looks like Negroes were expecting that somehow, hey, we got a black man in the Oval Office, he's going to just pull out his magic BBC wand, and by BBC I do not mean British Broadcasting Corporation. I mean more like the Big Black Rooster, and that somehow he could magically make all that happen. That's the problem. That is that thing about that savior complex where they think, you know, somebody is going to come and magically fix it all for you. And, you know, okay, Soul, I know this is going to make your ass itch for a little, you know, but, you know, it's like a lot of people, you know, a lot of people always talk about Black Christian, think about, oh, Jesus is going to come fix it. Okay, Soul, I know this is not, you don't believe in that theology, but for all my hippo Christians out there, listen, if you understand Christianity, the whole thing about Jesus Christ is saving your soul from eternal damnation by forgiving your sins. Doesn't mean that every fuck up you do that he's going to come and fix it. No. It just means you repent, you get forgiven. But it's still up to you to live your life right, and you still got to deal with consequences. So just yes. like in the same fashion that, you know, Christ's death was to atone for your sins so you don't have eternal damnation, you still got consequences for what you do. You should have never looked forward to somehow Barack Obama would have fixed every problem you have. He would have fixed schools. No, that's not the president's job.
Nope,
but,
that's not.
You know, if you want change you can believe in, I'll give you change you can believe in. Take a sock, fill it with nickels, pennies, and dimes, and hit yourself in the head. That's change you can feel. But I digress.
Oh, God help
me. I am getting frustrated with the lack of political know-how of Negroes here. I'm like, damn, this is supposed to be the country that's leader of the free world? I'm like, here's another thing. Look, this is going to be very unpopular. Honestly, my experience with Negroes, as I've seen on the home continent, in the islands, and here in America, honestly, this is why I would say democracy is overrated. Negroes need a benevolent dictatorship. They need someone who's going to rule with an iron fist overlaid with a velvet glove. Because honestly,
like Mugabe?
No. Hey, why not? The only way democracy ever truly were a real democracy was on a pirate ship. A pirate ship was a floating city-state where all the members of the crew voted to elect the captain. That otherwise, most people, I don't think, have – I'm not even saying – it's not they don't have the intellect. They just don't have the willpower to really work the political system for it to work the way it's supposed to. People are too late. People just expect the government to do stuff for them. You got to participate. When stuff is not going right, you don't just complain. You don't go to Al Sharpton and Jesse. You vote the people out who are screwing up. And if you got to keep on voting them out until you get the right person, do that. You remember a government? I mean, what's the indoctrination they teach you at school? This is a government of the people, by the people, for the people. Well, if it's a government of the people, it means that the people got to freaking vote. This is why they're making. This is why those white folks are making sure to get people, to get black people hit with felonies and stuff so that you cannot vote. There's a reason. It's not that you can't vote for the president. It's so you cannot vote at the local level where it really affects you. And how many times do I got to tell people that I am a freaking foreign observer?
Well, I'm
and
tell
I still
got
to pay taxes. So
I'm
I wish
tell you,
those who are citizens could get it.
Well, here's in Maryland, we're changing that. Maryland, they're going to allow us to, you can have a felon and still vote. So they're changing that over here in Maryland. But so just keep that in mind. I don't know about other states, but I know that's what they're doing here. They're fixing that. Because you can't it's unfair for you to be, okay, you committed an act one time in your life, you pay the dues for it, and you still have to, for the rest of your life, not be able to be a participant. But you can pay your taxes. You can pay taxes. So that's taxation without representation. They're fixing
Are they
that.
Really fixing it because it's unfair, or are they fixing it because they realize, hey, we got a lot of white boys who are felons also, and now we need them to vote? Because if it was just black people who are being felons, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't care. It must be affecting them enough that that's why they're fixing it. But I'm just, you know, that's there's a pessimist in me.
Regardless of what reason they're doing it for, I'll just put it this way, that's what they're fixing it. So if they're fixing it, we better take advantage of it. That's what I'm going to say. If they're going to fix it so we can go ahead and get some stuff done and be benefited, then take advantage of it and do something positive that's beneficial for all of us out of it. Instead of sitting back and being like, okay, now I can vote. Big deal. You still have to be a participant in the process, bottom line. So if you're not being a participant in the process, it ain't going to do us no good anyway if they do fix it.
Yeah, no, it's not just now I can vote. Now that I can vote, I'm not going to wait for when we got to elect that clown at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or those 535 clowns on Capitol Hill. I'm going to exercise my right to vote at the local level where it has the most influence. You know, because when people can say, oh, your vote don't count, it's true. The president is really selected by the Electoral College. That is true. But guess what? Your vote, you still, it's popular vote, is what selects your mayor, your governor, and your state assembly. There's no electoral college for that. And this is where, because if again, if Negroes paid into the Constitution, I mean, the federal government has overstepped its bound a lot. Okay, and I know I'm going to sound like some kind of neocon. I don't give a fuck. I'm not American. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a pussycrat or Republican. But here's the thing. Technically speaking, the only power the federal government has are those specifically enumerated by the Constitution. Everything else technically is at the discretion of the state at the local level, which is why they're making sure they want to suppress the black vote. And again, the U.S. Patriot Act probably, you know, when the Patriot Act was passed, they basically wiped their asses with the Constitution, but that's a whole other show. But the bottom line is, Negroes need to get involved at the local level. And I'm so worked up. I'm actually feeling my chest kind of tight. I'm feeling some chest pains right now. That's how annoyed I am at this whole thing. I'm serious. I know I sound like I'm having chest pains right now. Just thinking about Negroes not freaking understanding the whole vote thing. This is not like in Haiti where we had the divided dictatorship for decades. I'm like, come on, man. Fuck. I'm getting frustrated.
Is there a way that we gotta figure out a way to get them educated on the civics, because they obviously don't know, man. It's getting to the point, because even now when I talk to the younger generation, they got no clue, man. They got no clue. I'm just like, God.
What it is? I got an example for you. We talk about group economics. It's all tied in. Everything we talked about tied in. It's like it's layers to this. It's kind of like a rapper now. But, you know, think about this. The National Organization of Women. Look at how they almost got Roger Goodell fired over the whole supposed domestic assault thing, domestic violence thing, and which nobody really cared about until you saw a video. But that's a whole different story. But look at how they were together. They got the money. They got funding. They got money. And they were unapologetic about their cause.
They got an agenda.
We got black people here who are not – the problem is that we got black people who won't cut those people off. I was saying earlier, like Melissa Harris Perry, for example. She's all about being a feminist. I'm a feminist till she lost her job. Now, I'm black. It's racism.
Oh, here we go.
No, it isn't. Don't come crying to me now. It's like Will Smith and the Oscars. When you're the $20 man, you weren't thinking about us. Or that production company you made, that's pretty much all white people working there, and you can't tell there aren't talented black people you could have hired. But since you didn't get nominated for a movie that you wanted and validation, now y'all want to be black. Don't come see me. Don't talk to me now. You should have been down for the cause when you're at your peak. But we accept too many black people who at their peak did not acknowledge us, but as soon as Mr. Charlie or Miss Ann don't want to give that validation, now they want to be black again. No, y'all want to be with everybody else. You want to be in the big house. You have at it. Just like, and I hate to say this, you saw a lot of black people turn on Bill Cosby over that. We were talking about pound cake and talking down to black people like that. A lot of black people weren't really worried about, hey, have at it. You know, you go on your stuff, have at it. So we have to stop accepting people who don't have our best interest at heart. Just because you're on TV. Don Lemon's on TV for a reason. Al Sharpton's on TV getting their checks for a reason. You don't see an unapologetic black person on TV. You see black people who will do what they tell them to do because guess who signed their checks? Now, we had our own media apparatus, which you should have done years and years and years ago, especially during the Civil Rights Movement. We should have done that, those things before then. Even a black newspaper or something. We could have black people on
In defense of Dr. Puddin' Pops, that's the thing. He was I mean, a lot of people focus on, I guess, when he was talking down the black community, which I guess they kind of took snippets of it, not the whole thing, because, you know, people got mad at him because he was telling the black people to pull up your pants and stuff, but everybody forgets, unlike some other celebrities, he had been, like, I mean, how much money he given to all those black institutions? Like, he was a big pusher for education. I mean, you see clips on YouTube about how he used to, you know, educational clips, talking about black history going beyond slavery, you know, talking about all the countries black inventors. He may not have been, like, some kind of really militant firebrand, but he was doing a lot of stuff on the cool. And what's happened, this whole thing right now with the rape case is because he didn't get the message the first time when they killed his son, when he tried to acquire NBC. And he was trying to do, you know, trying to get black people more power in the media, you know. I think he was either trying to cover his own network or something to the effect where it would allow for more, you know, positive black content as opposed to just, you know. So this whole thing with all the rape scandals, they had been look, you mean to tell me with all those other people he was party, if he was really, there is no way a man could have been going around raping all these white women in the 60s and 70s, even the 80s, and not gotten lynched. I'm sorry, I don't buy it.
So hold on, guys, hold on. This is why the purpose of having our own media. Also, having competent black lawyers. I'm sorry, Benjamin Crump sounds like Gucci Mane. We need competent people in those fields.
He has a competent black lawyer. That black female lawyer who's representing him. She's good.
But hold on a second.
He was trying to make his media. That's why they're destroying him.
But see, here's the thing. Also, I'll touch on this real quick. It's another lesson that black people have come with business. All ties in. Instead of trying to buy NBC, we should got some black people together. Let's create our own thing. It may be smaller. Because here's the thing. NBC is a very powerful network. Why should that white man who owned it at the time sell it to a black man? That much power. But yet black people are businesses. We create something. We'll sell it to the first white person that comes smoking. That's why I respect the brother who owned that Bezel Shaving Company. He ain't selling out. But as soon as we get a little bit, we'll sell to those white people. And it's theirs now. And so it's like, why should they sell to him? But I'll say this. Even his situation, those are white women. If they were black women, no one would have said a word. And that's the thing with the whole feminist also, the government, with these people, these so-called good old liberals, that line of black folks. Daniel Holtz called Oklahoma raping all those black women. They weren't saying nothing. Well, they'll rape one white woman. He would have been plastered all over there. But here's the thing also. Back to this president. When people say, black folks say, he's been getting blocked by Republicans, the question I always had was, name me a black policy that was blocked by Republicans.
It was Republicans that had to help JFK to even do that whole civil rights bill. First of all, Eisenhower, people credit JFK for Eisenhower tried before, which, by the way, Eisenhower was the first black president, if you go by the one-drop rule, because his mother was a mulatto, where he had one drop of black blood, you're black, but that's a whole other story. But the thing is, at the time, the Democrats, which, by the way, the Democrats are the ones who started Ku Klux Klan, the Democrats blocked it. When Kennedy... I guess Kennedy must have turned on his base or something, because when Kennedy tried to pass that, he had to get assistance from the Republicans to prevent his own party, Democrats, from filibustering in order to pass the civil rights bill for all the civil rights legislation for black people. So, you know, that's another thing. Negroes need to stop being beholden to the Democratic Party, okay? As to give the example, like Lansker said, black people are to the Democratic Party like what this thirsty side chick who the only time the guy calls is at 3 a.m. when he want to stop by to either, you know, to either get a nice little fellatio or to bust a quick nut and go. He's never going to take you out, you know, to Applebee's. He's never going to take you out to the movies in public. He only swings by when he wants to get a nut, and that's it. But you're so eager to let him in, and that is exactly how the black community is to the Democratic Party. So he's not making any effort to try to get to you. Because, hey, he knows anytime he wants to, every 4 years, hey, baby, can I come through? And the black community is like, yeah, baby, yeah, daddy, here, come in. That's what it is. I'm not saying go for the Republicans. I mean, You know, the two-party system is a freaking illusion. There are other political parties out there. Politics1.com, that's what the digit one, politics1.com. Look under the list of parties. You'll be surprised. There are other political parties out there, and you can even form your own. I mean, they have a pot party, for crying out loud. There's a pansexual peace party. There's even an environmental Nazi party. So white people who were disgruntled with the Republicans, they started the Tea Party. Why haven't Negroes started the Kool-Aid Party? Come on. 8 years? Nobody thought about the Kool-Aid? Nobody thought about doing the Iced Tea Party? Come on. This is not a Don Caluso original. I forgot who I plagiarized. I've heard that since 8 years ago when people are like, hey, well, if the white people got that Tea Party, we need to have a Kool-Aid Party. Why haven't Negroes started the Kool-Aid Party? Or,
they're not involved. We're not involved. If you're not involved, you're not going to get anything done. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's pretty simple. No agenda.
The Black Panthers were a political party, right? It wasn't just a whole bunch of guys with berets. It was the Black Panther political party for self-defense. How do I know that? Because when I was an undergrad, Bobby Seale came to Slippery Rock University out in western Pennsylvania, and he talked to us about how the Black Panther Party was started, that it was a political party. You know, it wasn't just a group of guys who were just walking around with guns. And guess what? The same NRA that's against gun laws and gun restrictions, those were the same people who were lobbying for restrictions on guns when Negroes started to exercise the Second Amendment right. Yes, that's another cultural appropriation. It was what? Huey Newton and Bobby Seale who started the whole, exercise the Second Amendment right, and then white people stole it. Just like they stole country music and rock and roll, but, that's another show.
Yeah, that's another show. I'm going to have to say goodnight to you guys because I got to get off the mail. But,
okay. Shalev and Mazel Tov.
Yeah. Thanks for turning in. Hey, I'm sorry about those technical difficulties I had earlier because I got to make this surf and turf anyway if I go out tonight. But, hey, I just want to say, before anybody else, y'all got any last words or anything, guys?
Yeah, how is your email address, T-Smitty?
My last word is get involved. Doggone involved. Peace and shalom.
Yeah. All right, y'all take it easy. And I'll say this real quick for everybody else to get in. Hey, getting involved is not now. You supposed to, let's say, 2016 election, you should have been involved in 2012, getting everything ready to go. But, hey, let's see. All right, Joe, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I need your email address, man.
All right, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
You don't want to get all them random breast pics and whatnot?
I'm not trying to get that out. No, I'm not trying to get those crazy people. I can block you on Twitter, but I can't.
All right. Let me channel the spirit of Joe Nagbon for a second. Random acts of boobage and booty are a good thing.
Not if you're married, bro. Keep that in mind. Mm.
All right. Any last words for you, Doug?
How about, folks, forget about 2016. Start prepping for the elections in 2020. Okay, black people in 2024. And ladies, T. Smitty is not your baby daddy.
All right. Again, like I said, I'll put that in your Facebook inbox and email address, Joe. But I want to say thanks to everybody listening. Sorry about technical difficulties earlier. And thanks to everyone who will listen to this in the archives as well. And you guys have a good one. And like I said, hey, it's okay to criticize your politicians, federal, state, whatever, because if you voted for them, you should get something for your vote. That is a business transaction. If you go to McDonald's and you gave them $5 for a Big Mac, you expect a Big Mac. And your Big Mac didn't have cheese on it. You could be like, why is no cheese on here? I gave you $5. So you got to look at things of that sort. And just because a man is black, just because he has a beautiful black family, does not mean that he's above reproach. Because if the white guys at the Tea Party voted out Eric Cantor for not doing what they wanted, giving the policy they wanted, we should be able to do the same thing. That sends a message. We also need to be a unified front. We need to come out there having a clear agenda. And that agenda is economics, in my opinion. Because, hey, we tried the religion. We tried college. We tried pulling our pants up and wearing three-piece suits. It ain't working. But we're still poor. But, hey, like I said, you guys have a good evening. You guys stay safe. And call that Uber if you need it.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
All right, y'all take it easy.
All right, T. Smitty, man. That was a good show.
All right, thanks, man.